Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness that we've just felt deposited upon our hearts. Father, we just want to move forward in that goodness and receiving your love and understanding that you want to speak to us. And so today we open our ears and we prepare our hearts to hear from you, because you are the teacher of the church, Holy Spirit. So come teach us. Come reveal the things that we ought to hear. Father God, I just pray that we are ready to receive the perfect seed, which is your word, into the ground that's ready today, so they can give fruit 100%, just like you promised, 30, 60, and 100-fold. We believe that it will happen tonight, Father. And I come against anything that may want to steal that seed from us, Lord God. We rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we believe that you will continue to prosper your word in each one of us. Lord, we pray for the churches that are around the Inland Empire and around the world. Lord, we bless them, because we do not compete against churches, but we advance one kingdom, and that is yours alone. So we declare that today, and we bless them as you have blessed us greatly. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and go to the book of Judges, chapter 3, and we'll get to it in a minute, and it'll be even better if I put my glasses on. I was like, well, there's some ink on that thing. And so let's go to the book of Judges. But, you know, we've all heard this before, and one way or another, that maybe you're not old enough to to have been through that, but have you heard when it was go up, when it would say, hey, it's a test, it's only a test. And it's you get the beep, 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 you get the little noise through the emergency system, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're doing a test of the emergency system. And the idea of the test of the emergency system is to get you ready for something that's going to happen in your life. And so all of us have these things that come in our lives that test us, things that are coming our way that are going to see how we're doing in certain areas of our lives. I don't know if I've shared this with you guys, but I read this story that I thought it was comical. Some four friends, they're studying for a big test in school. So when they're studying for this big test in school, they do an all-nighter and fall asleep. So when they wake up, they realize they are late for the test. So they are running to the test and thinking, man, this teacher is so hardcore. He's so difficult. There's no way he's going to allow us. He does not allow late entrance to the test. So right before they go into the classroom, they go, okay, here's what we're going to say. That we were on our way on time, but we got a flat tire on the way. Cool. They all agree that's what they're going to do. They go in, they tell the teacher, hey, listen, when we were coming here, we got a flat tire. Please give us a break. Allow us to take the test again. And the teacher was like, you know, okay, I'll be nice. I'll be nice. Tomorrow, you guys meet me here. Same time, I'll give you the test. They're like, whoo, man, we escaped that one. They make their point. They show up the next day. And when they show up the next day, they're sitting, you know, right on time. And they flip the page over, and it's only one question. They're thinking, we made it, man. One question. We're going to pass this test. There was only one question. The question was, can you tell me which tire was flat? You know what happened next, right? They're done for. A lot of times we get into this web of lies and different things that come into our lives because they're testing every area of our lives. And I believe God has a test for us, but it is a test that you and I can pass. And tonight I want to tell you, this is a test that you can pass. This is a test in life that God designed for you to pass. God is not like that teacher who wants you to flip over the page and feel like you failed because he's giving you a question or a difficult situation in life that you won't be able to answer. That is not our God. That is not our God. So whatever test you're going through tonight, it is a test that you can pass. And he shows you how we can obtain that passing grade or that passing area in our lives, because everything in life is a test. Everything in life is a test. Especially when we're talking about in our Christian walk. And we ought to know that, because people get frustrated in the process of testing. But testing allows so many great things. And tonight I want to look at four of them that we're going to learn out of the book of Judges. Let me get you to what's happening. In the book of Judges, the children of Israel already came through and landed into the promised land. Joshua has passed, and so now God is bringing judges to help rule Israel, because the Israelites are acting a fool. And so he's bringing these judges to help them, guide them through their lives of taking the territory. But when you land on Judges 3, I read something so, I've read this many times because I read the Bible several times, but I read it again and God just brought this to me into my soul, my own reading. And it was so amazing, because every challenge has a level that you and I have to conquer. Are you with me today? Every challenge. Let's read it together. Judges 3 says this, verse 1 through 4. And now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might, what? Test. That he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. I want you to get a hold of this, because in a moment he's going to give you the why. So he's saying, they get to the promised land, they're about to face a test, and he's telling you why. Verse number 2 gives us a better description. It says, this was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Just that verse alone is one of the most profound parenting teachings you can find. That verse is saying, don't do everything for your kids. That's what the verse is saying. Some things you're just going to have to learn. We don't want to learn them. They're difficult to learn. But God is saying, this is a test you can pass, because I want to help you. I'm not being a difficult teacher or a bad parent. I want you to develop something in your life. Verse 3, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, all the Sidonians, and all the Hivites, and the dwelt in Mount Lebanon and Mount Baal Hermon, all of the entrance of Hamath. So he left a certain amount of people around the children of Israel in a territory, watch, in a territory that God already promised that was theirs. I don't think you got that. God already told them, that's yours. And the children of Israel are saying, there's people with my stuff, Lord. That's what they're saying. God said, I already gave it to you, but I left them there for a purpose. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but there are promises of God in your life that you're looking at them going, God, you told me this was going to happen. I got a prophecy this was going to happen. I got a verse standing on this situation. But now when I go to it, there's people standing where I'm supposed to be. And God comes back and says, I know. I know. Watch. Verse 4. And they were left that he might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So church, God is such a good God that he said, there's people that came from Egypt and crossed into the goodness of God, but they've never have tested war. And if I don't let them learn, they're going to destroy their lives. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. If you don't get anything about it tonight, God is working on you and on me so we can arrive ready at the promise he brought to our lives. Let me just say this way. Every spiritual fight today is a training ground for your tomorrow. Every spiritual fight today is training ground for your tomorrow. And it is so important, because otherwise you become frustrated in the fight that you're in, because you're not understanding that what it's really doing is really helping you figure out what is going to happen tomorrow. Every fight today develops something in your life. And if we don't do that, then God is not a good God. If you don't do that, then your father as a parent, you're not a good parent. We've allowed kids to struggle to some things so they can force, they can weigh, so they can think, so they can do things. Obviously, as a parent, we come and help when they feel overwhelmed. God did the same thing. He did the same thing. We'll see it today. But I want you to know that every fight you're going through today is actually building ground for tomorrow. It's actually helping you what you're going to achieve in your future. So don't run from what God is actually doing in your life today. Are you with me today? Don't run. So your spiritual fight will test 4 things. Here's the first one. We'll test this. We'll test what you know. That is the first thing every fight will test. Is going to test what you know, because every test really comes to figure out what you've learned in class. The knowledge of what you've obtained can only be flushed out through testing. And so it's the same in life. What you think you know only happens when through testing. I think as Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Everyone. We all know how things are going to go down, and all of a sudden life comes at you and go, pow, and you're like, oh, well, that was different. I thought it was going to be a different way. Absolutely. And that's why it's important for us to know that the testing and the things that God is working in our lives, he is doing it for a reason, to test what we actually know. And even Jesus, the Bible says that when he was taken by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days and for 40 nights, guess what? Jesus passed the test by what he knew. He would repeat the word of God in any attack that the enemy brought his way. all of a sudden, the Son of God is being tested. My friend, you and I are not going to avoid the test of life. Why? Because God is a good God. And for you to achieve the promised land that you believe God is building you to, you're going to have to go through some testing in what you actually know. So every fight you're through right now is actually testing what you know. And we're going to look at this because our pastor introduced us to the vision for the year about strength. And Ephesians has so much understanding of it. Look at this. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." In other words, the Bible comes along and says, your problem is not the neighbor, the boss, the guy who cuts you off on the... No, that is not your problem. There's something spiritual acting in all of the things. And that is so crucial for us to know, because I think as spiritual people, the enemy and kind of the system wants you to kind of dumb down what you believe. Oh, no, it's just happening here. No, there's always a spiritual factor in everything we face. And we ought to know that. And so it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So he's saying you have a specific fight, and you ought to know that your fight is first of all spiritual. It's first of all spiritual. Because if we understand that, then we know what to go after. Otherwise, you're arguing with your boss, you're arguing with the neighbor, you're arguing with all these physical situations instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to bring it to the Father and let him sort it out. Let him work this deal out. And that's going to be so important. I remember this, my wife hates when I tell testimonies about her, but all my examples, because she's always, you know, she's a lot more spiritual. I get to preach, but she's really a Christian. I'm in training. And so we were having this issue when my son, my oldest son, was in third grade. And so we had this issue with a new teacher. And this new teacher was really difficult. Everyone was complaining about her. It was an absolute mess in this school we were at in Yucaipa. And so it was just a big old problem. And I mean, obviously, Mama Bear is ready to, what's going to happen? My son, who normally loved school, didn't want to go, was just having a lot of issues, very difficult. And I remember she went to Ethan and to me. She was talking and says, okay, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to give us a plan. And so we prayed as a family. And then she told me, you know what? I think God wants us to be good to her, because she needs to experience goodness. I'm thinking, I don't think that's God. I want him to treat my son right. So I believe I remember the story correctly. She brought her a plant or flowers one day, and brought her flowers, and brought her a gift, and just kind of talked to her for a little bit. For the rest of the year, the lady absolutely changed her treatment of my son. Absolutely just was different. And even with the rest of the class, she kind of niced up a bit. And we made it through the year. But it wasn't about arguing just with the teacher. It was about getting a spiritual direction of what the situation was happening in that moment. Are you with me today? And I think we tend to get physical in everything we do, when as Christians we understand there's something in the spirit that we have to first attack before we go after a person in every area, in every way. We've got to praise. 2 Corinthians tells us this, 10:4 in the new international version says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. They're not. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Whoo! They have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's what you're going after. It is a spiritual fight, and you can only break it by applying the principles of the Spirit. We'll look at that in a little bit. So what you know is you have to understand you're in a spiritual fight. It's first and foremost spiritual. Then you can actually understand all these other things that can come your way. Here's the second thing. A spiritual fight will test what you believe. A spiritual fight will test what you believe. And so because, why? Because believe leads to behavior. Believe will lead to behavior. You can say whatever you want. You can know something, but what you actually believe is what you're actually going to behave like. And that's very, very important. As a matter of fact, it's one reason why we believe so much in inner healing, and we have Breaking Free here and many other things about inner healing and the teachings that you get at Women Rock and from our pulpit. Because if you can attack the belief system that is in your soul, then you will behave in the manner of God wants. And the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested. And that's our pastor's been teaching on the effect of sin in our lives and how we get the freedom from Jesus. That is the process that happens in us. And this is what happens with Adam and Eve. I mean, we already know that, but In Genesis 3, the serpent comes to Eve and said, hey, look at all this. And she says, yeah, you know, for the Lord, for God said, we can eat of all the fruit, but not of the fruit that's in the center of the garden. I'm paraphrasing because I memorized it in Spanish instead of English. So from the center of the garden, so you can grab it from there, and but you can't do that one from the center of the garden, or you'll die. And Satan said, he didn't say you would surely die. He said what he really means is that you will be like him. So all we have is a restatement of God's word in a manner that didn't reflect his truth. Say that again. Restatement of God's word in a manner that doesn't reflect his truth. And this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing God's word reestablished in a manner that doesn't reflect his truth. The amount of people calling themselves Christian today is crazy. Now, we can be excited about it. The problem is their fruit is not matching what they're saying. So we are restating a thought by saying, I am a Christian because of these things, but they're not connected to the truth of God. I'm sorry if I'm being direct here, but I want you to get that because there's a lot of deception nowadays. Tons of deception. And the truth of God is going to be connected with also the behavior that is godly according to what he says. And so the testing of life will test all of those things in our lives. We will be tested by them. We're not asking for perfection. God is not perfect. We screwed up a ton, right? And so that's not the issue at all. The issue is a reflection, the fruit that is flowing out of me. So I will be tested in this area of my life as I'm heading towards what God wants for me. So here's what God is going to test you on. Not only what you know, but he's going to test you in this area of your life for us to deliver. Look what the word of God says. The Apostle Paul, and would you believe, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy in this area. And I love it. Because I want you to see Paul telling him and then Paul applying it. Telling him and then Paul putting it into his life. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writes to his disciple, Timothy, and says, fight the good fight of faith. Notice that Paul didn't write him, you know, just, Paul's encouraging Timothy, hey man, you got to be tough. You're in a war. You're a soldier for God. If you read all of Timothy, I mean, he's just telling me, you get in there. You got to do your job. And it's amazing. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold on eternal life, for which you were also called and you have confessed the good confession, the presence of many witnesses. Paul's saying, I want you to fight for the things you believe because people are watching. Wow. But I want you to see what Paul says in 2 Timothy. And Paul comes along, 2 Timothy 4:7, and says, I have fought the good fight. He tells Timothy, Timothy, I want you to fight. Then later on writes him again and says, Timothy, I want you to know something. I fought it. I've been at it too. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the what? The faith. So Paul's saying, I want you to fight. And then tells him again, I want you to know that I've been fighting also. And that is amazing because belief leads to behavior. Paul could have written him a letter and said, fight the good fight of faith. And then Timothy finds out, man, this guy's folding over there. He's abandoning the gospel. He's teaching words. So he doesn't do that. He writes him again and says, I want you to know that I'm fighting. That I'm fighting. And God wants you to know that when you do that, when you apply what you know, when you bring it and you say, I believe it, it'll lead to a behavior. It'll lead for you to hang on to the things of God in your life while you achieve the promise of God that he's brought to you. Are you with me tonight? And so here's what happened. You've got to praise. It's okay. As a Christian and as a pastor, we see so much of this where people come to Christ. They really repent. I mean, they're really sorrowful. They want to change. And then testing comes. Because for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a westernized Christian belief that when we come to Christ, everything has to be good. Here's what's crazy. Everything is good. But good is what God says. Good is the standard of God. It was good. The Bible says it was good that God pressed Jesus to sin. That is a crazy understanding. He put it on him so that you and I will have a benefit. His good is a little different than yours. And sometimes God's good is not to hurt you. God's good is to make us sons and daughters of Him, getting closer to Him in every area of our lives. And it's so amazing. It's such a different thought. I get it. I know you want to be here. God's going to bless you, fill your bank account. That's going to happen some other Wednesday, not tonight. But here's what He wants you to be encouraged on. He wants you to be encouraged that whatever fight you're through, He's actually building your future. It's actually for your betterment. It's actually so you can withstand later in life, so you can say, you know what? God did it then. He can do it now. He can do it now. And this is what a lot of people don't see, is the progress of time. You're thinking, oh my goodness, I've been through some stuff. God has done some stuff in me as I'm heading to the promised land He gave me in every area of my life. Are you with me today? Here's number three. Every spiritual fight will test. Every spiritual fight will test this, what you obey. Not only what you know, not only what you believe, but also what you obey. What are you willing to do? What instructions are you actually following? And this is an essential factor for us to overcome the fight. And this is so crucial because the Bible describes followers of Christ as we're in the army. And in the army, you don't get an option on the commands given by the top brass. So spiritually speaking, the things that God lays before us, they're not optional. There's something He's guiding us to His goodness. That goes in giving, in prayer, in fasting, in relationships. In every area, He's saying, I am giving you these things because I believe they're better for you. They're better for you. And so, can we struggle through those things? Absolutely. But as long as we're fighting to get there, then we can fight to get and obey what God is leading us to do. And that's very, very crucial in every area of our lives. Otherwise, we're going to be getting partial things of what God brings us. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. If you read the rest of Judges, we don't have time now, it literally says that they, it's so crazy, because God said, I'm going to test you to see if you obey what I left instruction from Moses and Joshua. And it says, right the next verse, and they went ahead and intermarried with the women of the other tribes and followed their idols. I mean, come on. Like, literally, God is saying, hey, I'm giving you everything. And immediately, they go into the wrong thing. We've all been there. We can't claim being extra holy in any way. In some area of our lives, we've all done, yeah, that's me. I've done that. I knew where to go. I still went the wrong way. It's okay. God wants to bring us through a direction where He wants to help us. And here's what happened. Exodus 16. If you have your Bibles, go there. Mark Judges. We'll come back to it. Exodus 16. What you find in Exodus 16 is that at this point, they've crossed, they left Egypt, and now they find themselves seeing, I mean, they've seen that one of the greatest miracles, the Egyptian army destroyed, the sea opened up, they walked in dry land, God has done so many things, and all of a sudden they get hungry. There is nothing more frustrating than when you don't get what you want. One honest, thank you for the ouch over there. Am I the only one around here? No, right? It's difficult because we want what we want. Let's be honest. We want what we want. And so the children of Israel are on the other side, and they're like, my goodness, we're hungry. This is frustrating. God told us we're going to the promised land. And so in this process, they get frustrated. And look at this. Verse 2 in the International Version says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, their two leaders. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Are you serious? These people were slaves for 435 years, and they get a little hungry, and they're saying, we'd rather God kill us as slaves. Wow. Talk about a meltdown in the aisle of Walmart. I mean, this is right here. This is what you're seeing. There we sat around in pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out to the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And if I can say it this way, I think I've said this before because it's a true concept of the Word of God, is the enemy tends to make bad times look good when sometimes we face difficulty. And so here they are. The Egyptians had doubled their workload, were absolutely destroying them, and they're thinking, oh, God took us here, and we don't know where we're exactly going. I'm hungry today. I'd rather be a slave and eat what they were giving me. Here's what's crazy. The Bible says that they were eating onions. But what they said here is, we were eating pots of meat. The distortion, sorry, the distortion of their view of the situation is so crazy. And it's all because they were being tested. And a lot of times when we're being tested, we view things with the wrong lens. With the wrong lens. In our relationships, in our finances, in the areas of our lives, we view things with the wrong lens. And God wants us to move past that. Here's how he does it. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I love that God is telling us something. The Lord said to Moses, it will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Watch, we'll eat together. In this way, I will, what is that word? Test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Wow. In that way, I will test them and see if they will follow my instructions. Guys, God has something good for us. But every area of our life will need a little testing and a little tweaking so we get everything he's promised in the way we can handle his promises. Pastor Jim used to say it this way, if God blesses you the way you are and keep you the way you are, assume you're okay because he's blessing you. And what he wants is for us to change as we receive his blessing, for us to receive it in a condition that we can handle it. And that is an amazing thing, that what God is doing is actually a good thing for us. And I don't know what testing you're going through today, but I want you to know that is for your good. And your vision has to align with what he's saying. Why? Because frustrating situations can lead us to question the goodness of God. Frustrating situations can lead us to questioning the goodness of God. And we've all been there. When we're having pressure with people, when we're having financial pressure, God, what is happening? Are you not good? Where do we sin? I mean, that is, you know, something a lot of times that's the first thing we ask, Lord, where's the sin? Like, get it away from me because I don't want to suffer through this. But a lot of times what he's doing is he is working in our own lives. I share this testimony many times, but it's relevant for this factor because it applies to what we know, what we believe, and what we're obeying. And many years ago, we found ourselves, my wife and I, in a terrible financial situation of our own doing. And so we were pastors of La Roca early in the years. I think it was maybe second or third year of La Roca. We were teaching a financial series. So I come across Deuteronomy. And one of the blessings in Deuteronomy is that you would lend and not borrow. And when I read that, it impacted me so deeply. I mean, I had my family in almost $80,000 in debt. I have made so many mistakes, not out of a bad will. I wasn't, you know, we were never overspending. We've never driven fancy cars. So it was just bad management left and right. And so we find ourselves with $80,000 in debt. Here I am teaching the church on the financial blessing of God. And I remember I dropped to my knees and I repented in my own room. I said, God, there is no way I can keep doing this. You have got to help me. And you know what? I would have wanted God to say, oh, I see you're forgiven, son. Somebody's going to drop a check by tomorrow. But they didn't. They did not drop $80,000 by my house. For the next six years, we had to work at it and work at it and apply the principles, apply what we knew, believe what God was saying, and trust that he will bring it. Little by little, we were doing the work. And eventually, 6 years later, we were debt-free. We were able to buy a house again. We were able to do the things that God wanted us to do. But I'm telling you, it took a deeper conviction. I couldn't teach the congregation because I was a tither, always been a tither. But so the Bible says, well, if you tithe, you will open up the windows of heaven. Here's what God tells me. I am opening the windows of heaven. You're just blowing it out the other window. Sorry, Lord. I got to close that window. So that's what God does. And a lot of times we're mad at God and we're not evaluating the little testing that he's bringing into our lives. Are you with me tonight? If you're like convicted on your chair, like I got to sit this way, I'm not trying to convict you. God is working in all of us in some capacity, right? And so it's so important for us to know these things. And then miracles started to happen. We were able to free ourselves of this debt. We were able to save. We were able to purchase a home. And so the last few years, we've purchased a home, repaired, sold that one, moved on to the next one. And so God has given us certain strategies, but it came from a testing in our own lives. Are you with me today? It didn't come from absolutely none of that, but we have to trust God. And here's the last one. Here's the last one, because we questioned God's goodness when we were in debt, realizing God wants to train us as his children. Here's the last one for tonight. When you're under test, God is testing what you actually apply. God is testing what you actually apply. See, if the Lord would have revealed to me the issues we had financially, but I would have decided not to apply his word and apply the principles of the word of God to my life, I would have never gotten the promises God brought to me. And that's really the fight that we have tonight, that you and I have to face. It is actually the application of the truth of God into our lives. Because that's actually what God says. In Judges chapter 4, he says, I am going to test them with this people so they can face war to see if they will obey my commandments. That's what he says. I'm going to test them with war to see if they will obey my commandments. And here's what I'm asking you today and telling you today. If you're going through testing tonight, find what's the thing that God is working in your life. Because he's leaving it there for a reason. If it hasn't gone away, he's working some area of your life. If it's still there, then ask God, God, why else is it still there? Why? What are you doing? What are you working? What are you testing in my life? Is it in your marriage? Is it an issue of anger that still remains there? Then let's work at it. Is it an issue of frustration there? Then let's work at it. Are you overspending and you don't know why? Then let's work at it. Are you unforgiving in an area of life? Then let's work at it. Are you condemning and depression all the time? Then let's work at it, receiving God's love. Every testing you're on today is to see if you would apply what God is actually telling you to apply. Are you with me tonight? Because when we do that is when we actually can find what we are receiving for. This year, our pastor brought us a word that's amazing. And here's what he said in Ephesians 6:10. He says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the idea is that whatever battle you're going to face this year and you're going to go through and whatever testing, it comes back to being strong in God, not just in yourself. And what we tend to do is we tend to rely in ourselves instead of relying in God. And God is saying, no, be strong in the power of his might. In verse 11, look at this. Verse 11, put on some of the armor. How much? Whole. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What an amazing truth. He's saying when you're under testing and when you're fighting for something, you have to now apply the armor of God into your life. You have to actually put it on. You have to put truth, and you have to put the gospel, and you have to have the things that come within the helmet. Everything that's part of it is saying you apply it, then you can face a situation that you're facing today. Are you with me tonight? Because in the end, this is what God wants to do, that every spiritual fight, I'll repeat, every spiritual fight today is training ground for your tomorrow. Every spiritual fight today is training ground for your tomorrow. I don't know what God is going to do with you tomorrow, but I'm telling you what he's doing today is for a purpose. What he's doing today is for a purpose. Because one thing is what you see, another thing is what you experience in your life. I love the life version, I think it's called, says, put on the things God gives you to fight with. Put on the things that God gives you to fight with. Can you imagine if God gives you stuff and you decide not to put it on? And I think a lot of Christians are doing that today. God has given us the word, relationships, prayer, fast, all kinds of stuff. So here are all the tools. And we're choosing not to do some of those. And we're absolutely flailing in our fight in life. And he's saying, no, I want you to put it on. Then you will not fall into the traps of the devil. Put them all in. Put them all on you. Apply to your life. Know what God is doing, and he's going to strengthen you in this process. Are you with me tonight? And it's so important for us to do that, because otherwise, we're not going to get the testing, and we're going to win through what God is actually doing in our life, because everything we see today is preparing us for our tomorrow. I can tell you a million things that God did that were so insignificant at the moment that were so significant later on. I'll share a few that I've shared with our Bible college students when I teach some of my classes. A couple of them was, I remember I worked, I don't know if I shared this before, but I worked with Dr. Barron in his ministry in ISOM. And so he was going to bring me on as a translator. At the time, The secretary had left the ministry because they came from Orange County. She didn't come. So I show up to work, and he's saying, hey, by the way, yeah, I brought you for this, but I also need you to do the phones. In other words, you're going to be the receptionist. I'm like, what? I know receptionist. That's not me. I mean, I'm new to this. What's going on? And so, fine, the phone calls will come in. I'm, you know, filling the calls. One day, my wife calls me, and I say, yo, I saw my go through the line. I forgot what you used to say. And she says to me, hey, you got to smile when you talk. I'm like, I didn't ask you to call me, so bye. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. I said, you can hear people smile over the phone. I'm thinking, this lady's crazy. I'm hungry. I'm doing a job I don't want to do. I said, fine, I'll smile, right? And it's amazing. It absolutely changed my dynamic of relationship. It forced me to smile in many ways, and it forced me to smile when I speak because I used to be very, very just kind of, you know, very focused in everything I said. And so it helped me in a way that at the moment I was frustrated by. I wasn't happy that she pointed it out. I mean, you can name all kinds of things about it. But that little fight, that little development helped me later on in life because everything you're doing seems insignificant at the moment, but God is building for something. You don't know when you're going to need that. And it's so crucial. The same happened. I went to dental school and became a dentist in my country. I didn't want to do that. My dream was to be a missionary. And so, but I went to, many of you have heard my testimony, I went to dental school. And then, you know, years later, I ended up not using the dental degree. I'm just like, what in the world? But I always share this with young people who are going through school. Do you know that the fact that I went to college has opened more doors for me than I can ever imagine? Even though I'm not practicing what I went to college for. I have no idea that God could do that. I didn't know that God was going to use that. Now, that's not everyone's path. I'm not saying you have to have a college. It was just the fight I needed to fight. For whatever reason, God needed me to go through that. And he taught me obedience. He taught me how to study. He taught me how to be persistent. He taught me how to overcome difficulties through it. All the things I learned through just going to school, it actually has helped me in life in many ways. And so a lot of times we assume that what we're doing now is the end goal, that what we're doing now is the promised land. And God is saying, no, 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 that's just the people in your land that you have to fight to get to where I want you to be. And I don't know where you're at today, what you're fighting, but there's something in your land that you're going to have to fight, applying the things he gives you so that you can obtain everything he promises for you. And that is really the end goal here, because God is bringing you a test that you can pass. It is not a test that he's going to fail you. He's not going to ask you today, hey, man, which tire was flat? That's not what he's going to do to you. He doesn't want to fail you. He wants you to be successful. But it starts with this, and I'll end. Judges 9 says this, 3:9. This is how it ends. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. And tonight, here's the challenge for us. I don't know where you're at in life, but you have to cry out to God. You have to begin by saying, God, I recognize that I'm stuck in some things in my life. God, I recognize that I need your help tonight. God, I recognize that I need your direction tonight. Can we cry out to the Lord tonight? Can we spend a moment just praying? And I don't know what you're fighting tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but he knows. I don't know what's your testing. I'm sure there's a testing in your life that you don't want to go through. But he's figuring out, hey, I want you to know something. I want you to obey me. I want you to apply certain principles into your life. And that's what he's doing in your life tonight. Would you pray with me? Would you start praying and say, God, give me the strength. Lord, I'm facing these things that I didn't know. I don't know what you're going to do this. God, I don't know why I'm even studying what I'm studying. Maybe you're going to use it someday. He might. God, I don't know why I'm in this job. That might not be your end goal. But he's using something there to train you for it. About this, Lord, I don't know why I'm serving in this ministry. I want this other ministry, but you have me here. Then he's working something in your life in that ministry. Let him work in your life. Apply what you know. Obey what he's leading you to do. Thank you, Father. Father God, tonight we submit to your testing because in the end, it is a test you want us to pass because you have a promised land ready for us. And so tonight, Lord, I just agree with my brothers and sisters that we are going to fight the good fight of faith so that in the end we get what you want us to get. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God spoke to you, would you give God a praise tonight? Let him hear it. Pastor Dan.
So good. Man, love it. Absolutely love the word. And I love the fact that we can pass the test, don't you? Hey, you know, there's another test that we find in the Bible and the scriptures, and that is the test of the tithe, the 10%. And the Bible talks about it as a test. And it's really to show our hearts where we're at with God. When this time comes up, you know, you can test yourself out. Do you know that? And you can say, well, hey, how's my response? If I'm happy about giving, then I've got the right heart. If I'm unhappy about giving, what's going on in there that I'm not ready and willing, able to give? You know, what's happening? Like Pastor Paul was saying, even checking themselves out, you know, if things are tight but I'm tithing, that's a test to say, hey, am I properly stewarding the things that God has given to me? I want to read a scripture to you from 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I love this because it shows us that God enables us to give beyond our ability to give. Because, you know, when we take a look at what things are costing in the world that we live in, you know, the 100% is tough to live on by itself, isn't it? And so when we pass that test of generosity, when we pass that test of the tithe, and we say, God, I'm going to give the first portion to you because you said so, right? Really, because God says it in his word. That's the primary reason why we do this. But we also do it because we love God. We do it because we're obedient, and we do it because we love God. But also we do it in faith, trusting that God is able to provide for our needs. And it says that he who supplies seed to the sower. Once you're a sower, God has a provision available for you. And then it's your job to steward that, to look over that, to manage it, to put it where it needs to go. You know, even farmers would have seed for sowing and seed for eating, seed for selling, all those things that they would do. And they would divide that up and they would portion that out. It's the same thing with your finances. This is God's portion. This is for my bills. This is for my savings. This is for retirement. This is for fun. We always like the fun part, don't we? I know I do. And yet, God says, I need you to steward those things properly. And God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will increase the fruits. I love that. And the harvest of your righteousness. You know, that when you do things the right way, that's God's way, God will bring increase into your life so that you will have an overflowing, abundant life. Tonight, if you're giving by cash or credit card and you need an envelope, the ushers are standing at their feet at this time. They have those available for you by simply raising your hand. And they'll pass one down your direction, or you can check the seat in front of you, see if there's one within reach. If you're making out a check, just make it out to the Rock and make sure your information is correct on your check and that you don't need an envelope. And then all the different digital ways to give are up on the overhead screens behind me. And as well, you can see the Freedom for Our Future, where that's going. Thank you to those of you who give over and above your tithes and offerings towards that. We're continuing to see that move, and we're grateful for it. As we prepare our gifts tonight, let me pray. You can keep filling out your offering envelopes, doing your text to give or online giving, whatever you're doing. Keep doing that, and I'm going to pray. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your provision to our lives, God. That, Lord, you set aside a portion for us, and because of that, God, of your own, we're just giving back to you. And so, God, we thank you, God, as we bring our tithes to you, God, that you take them and you use them to build the kingdom of God, to fund the ministries here at The Rock and worldwide, God. And so, Lord, we do pray, God, that as we give, that we would remember that you are the one who provides seed to the sower. And, God, we qualify. We're sowers, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're going to increase the fruits of our righteousness, that there's a harvest coming our way. And so, Father, for that, we pray that you would help us to steward every bit that you bring in, God, to the glory and to the praise of God. In Jesus' name, every agreement said, amen, amen. All right, the ushers are going to stand and receive the honoring of the Lord. As they do that, we have some announcements for you guys. Number one is that it is Adam Ewert's birthday. That's not even on the card, Adam. It's not even on the card, all right? But if you guys don't know Adam, Adam oversees the finances here at The Rock. He is a man of God. He is 41 years old and looking fabulous, fantastic. He's a handsome man. And we're just grateful for you, Adam. Love you, my friend. I owe you lunch or something, man. Let's go play golf or do something fun, all right? Second announcement, water baptism is coming up this weekend. If you have not been water baptized, February 15th and 16th, right after church services, you can come and you can be baptized. You say, what if it rains? Hey, listen, you're getting wet anyways, all right? So let's just dunk you, all right? So don't let anything stop you. Let's get baptized this weekend, and it's going to be a great time. Jesus was baptized, and you're following in his footsteps. And it just shows what's going on the inside. It's a public declaration saying, you know what? I'm going public with my faith. that this is something, God, in my life, that going under the water represents being buried with Jesus Christ, that the old man is gone, and coming up out of the water represents the new life that I'm going to live in Christ. So you can do that. You don't need a class or anything. Just need to be a follower of Jesus, all right, and giving your heart and life to the Lord, and then you can meet us at the fountain. Bring your shorts, your flip-flops, and a towel. If you don't have a towel, we'll provide one for you, and we'll make sure to do that, and you can sign up right there at the tent. Rock Internship, hosting interest meetings for people ages 18 to 26. Who's 18 to 26 in here? Just wave at me right now. Hey, Lionel, you lie. Man, come on. 18 to 26. Let's go. Let's go. 18 to 26. All right. Hey, I see you guys. I see you guys. Rock Internship is for you. There is an information meeting Saturday, February 15th in the Youth Auditorium at noon. If you have any questions, there will be a table for you in the Youth Foyer tonight after service. So you can head over tonight after service to the Youth Foyer and find out more information. Also, where's the ladies at? Hey, there you are. Tomorrow morning is Women Rock AM. Pastor Deborah is launching a new series. You're going to love it. And then where's all the young adults, 18 to 26? Yeah, all right. There you are again. Okay, wonderful. Rock Young Adults is going on 7 p.m. in the Youth Auditorium. And then one final thing that's not on the card as well. No, it's not Adam's birthday again. Now it's something different. Hey, Pastor Paul mentioned ISOM. We have the International School of Ministry Conference coming up next week, okay? We're launching that Wednesday morning. It's going to go all the way through Friday. On Thursday, we're pausing to take some time for refreshing with pastors. What can you do for that? Well, number one thing you can do is pray for us. Please pray for these pastors and missionaries that are coming. Hundreds of them. Literally, there's over 500 people signed up for this, all right? From all over the world, okay? That represent tens of thousands of people and nations. Please pray for this event, all right? Second thing you can do is that on Wednesday night, next week, everybody say next week, bring someone to church. Here's the reason why. Because many of these people that are coming have not been in a church service. Some of them have been in churches that don't do altar calls. And so Dr. Bear and I were talking about this today. We want to encourage pastors and leaders from all over the world to do altar calls. And then I am releasing the new discipleship and SPT materials at this event. And we're going to launch this thing worldwide, okay? So this is not just something for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. This is going global, okay? This is something we're going to translate in Spanish. Eventually, we're going to translate in Korean. Dr. Barron said, let's get it out in every language known to man. And I said, yes and amen. We want to not only encourage pastors and leaders to give altar calls, but also to disciple and start people out on the right foot. And so we want to expose them to a church service that's alive, and as well, we want to see the altars filled because we want them to desire doing altar calls and taking that back to their congregations. They have Pastor Jim's materials in the ISOM for doing aggressive altar calls, and then they're going to have the discipleship materials. So we want to equip churches. So please help us with that by bringing someone with you next Wednesday night. Anybody can do that? Can you give the Lord a praise for that? Is that good? All right. Fantastic. We got a couple quick video announcements, and then Pastor Paul will be right back.
Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise as John comes to bring us the Word of God?
The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered of God. He sees the end from the beginning. He's not bound to time. He knows your life. He knows the plans that He's made for us, right?
Invite someone to join us Saturday and Sunday morning, February 22nd and 23rd, for guest speaker Reverend John Bevere.
Join us for the Rock Christian School Preview Days on February 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or come to our open house on March 24th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Tour our beautiful campus, meet the staff, and look into a day in the life of future Lions. Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment.
It's awesome. So many exciting things happening. Fun fact. Adam runs like 15 miles, not because the police is chasing me, just for fun, just for fun. That's just crazy, man. Love you, brother. He's awesome. Hey, here's one test. I know some of you guys might have left, but I want to make sure that your heart is right with God before we leave. It'll be a tragedy. We always say that, you know, you come, you get, we had fun, we laughed, we did all these things, but you didn't check your heart. And that's really the best test you can do. Here's a question for your test. If death were to knock on the door of your heart, would you open your eyes in heaven or in hell? That's really the question. Where is the ending of your spiritual life? And for a lot of people, especially in our society, in our westernized world, we all assume that we're going to heaven. Is there's this assumption about heaven that is kind of like, here's the things you've probably heard. Good people go to heaven, but what determines who's good? Well, Pastor, you know what? I do good things. I recycle. I take care of the earth. I'm not a mean person. All those things add up to some points in the sky somehow. But that is not biblical. There's no verse in the Bible or the Word of God that refers to earning heaven in my way. As a matter of fact, it says that if I try to earn it, what I do becomes like filthy rags. And the literal translation to that word is menstrual rags. Here's what God is saying. You cannot earn it on your own. It is the reason why he sent his son Jesus to die a horrible death on a cross for you and me, so that we can receive forgiveness to receiving the sacrifice of Jesus. You and I could not pay for what he paid. But here's what he says. I want you to receive what I've done for you. And in a moment, this is what I want you to do. I want you to violate the condition in your life. And in a moment, I'll do this. I count to three, I'll pop my hand, and you raise your hand right where you're at saying, Pastor, I want that. I want to acknowledge Jesus. Because here's what he says. If you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me, if you say, I'm not doing it, I don't want to do that, God says, not me, I will deny you. Why? Because Jesus on words, he says, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So the only way to have a relationship with God tonight is through the person of Jesus Christ, is acknowledging your need of him, repenting and heading towards Christ. And that's the opportunity I want to give you tonight. That's the opportunity I want you to have this very day. And in a moment, we'll all do it together. If you're ready for that moment, I count to three, you raise your hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done this prayer, tonight is your moment to say, I need that. How about this? Maybe you pray the prayer, Pastor, I did that prayer, but your life did not follow the words that you said. You went on doing your thing, your way. Tonight, would you repent and turn back to God? How about this? Tonight, God's speaking to you. Right where you're sitting, God's saying, hey, that's me. Don't put him aside anymore and receive him. Be humble about it and say, you know what? I want to pass that test. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Tonight is your night of salvation. I've already told you what he wants from you. All you have to do is surrender and say, God, I am in need of you. But a lot of times we're going to fight our head. Here's what you're going to fight. Pastor, the person that brought me might think I'm a Christian and now I want to do this. Do it anyway. Pastor, the people around me, it might be a little bit embarrassing. That won't be an embarrassment. On the contrary, we're going to celebrate you because we know what you're going through, because we had to do it someday in some moment. So tonight is your night of salvation. I don't know who's here, but be ready because God is speaking to you. I count to three. You raise your hand. I'll see your hand. You put it right back down and then we'll pray together. Ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone in this place? This is your moment of salvation. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I see a hand over here. I see you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? One brave person. Amen. Let's do it. The Bible says go after the one. But I believe it's a few. God bless you. I see you there. God bless you. Absolutely. Anyone else? That's two, three. God bless you. Good call. I see you. How awesome. God is so good. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But it begins by acknowledging. God bless you. Absolutely. What a night. What a beautiful night. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. This is your moment of salvation. It's your moment of salvation. Is there anyone else other than those five hands I think I've seen so far? This is God moving in your life. This is your moment. Don't put him aside. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to the move of God in your soul. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you a few more moments, and then we'll pray together. Is there anyone else? See you. God bless you. Absolutely. How awesome. God is so good. Amen. Can we give God a praise for those six beautiful hands? God is so good. Even from online, we're going to pray together in a moment. But in a moment, we're all going to stand. And when we all stand, here's what I want you to do. Bring everything you have with you. Don't leave anything in your seat. And even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God's speaking to you, would you join me and let's pray together? Let's stand and welcome them. Come on and meet us right here. Your friends, we want to pray with you. We want to welcome you into the kingdom. Don't be embarrassed. Nothing weird is going to happen. Tell them, hey, friend, come with me. Come with me. Would you join me? I want to pray with somebody. Have that friend bring you down. Have that friend bring you over to the front and pray. This is your moment of salvation. Don't put them aside anymore. Say, hey, I'm going after God. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you know God's speaking to you, say, I'm going after God. I'm going after God. God bless you. How awesome. This is your moment of salvation. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Absolutely. Come on by. This is your moment of salvation. God bless you guys. How God is so good. Thank you, Lord. We'll wait, absolutely. Give God a praise for these lives that are saying, hey, yes to Jesus. How awesome. God is so good. Listen, you guys are up here, up front. We're going to pray together. And in a moment, this prayer is not, you know, some magical words or formula. That's not what God is looking. You're going to say it with your mouth because the Bible says we confess it. But if you believe in your heart, he's looking at the intent of your heart. Am I true about what I'm saying tonight? And a new life begins. That is his promise. Let's pray together. Can we pray with him? Say, Father God, I repent of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But tonight, I give you all of my life. From here and until eternity, I want to serve you. I want to follow your ways. I want to pass the test. And I want to see you face to face. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome. Listen, our pastor, Pastor Joel, he wants to put some information in your hand. And he wants to do a few things. He wants to give you a friend. If you want a friend in church, he's going to give you the book, a book that Pastor Dan was talking about. It's going to help you how to be strong. And it's going to help you in the process, give you what you need to know to pass the test. Let us help you. And then he'll let you go right out and meet your family. So follow him and get that information. Nothing weird happens. 5 minutes of your time, and he'll let you right out. Your friends can go with you or wait with you. Come on. Give God a praise for their lives. That is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We never, never, never get tired of new lives. That's just so amazing. That is so amazing. That is one of the things that I've always loved about this church from day one when I came. God is always doing something and saving somebody. We go after the one, he brings everyone else. That's our focus. So, hey, listen, you might be in a test this week. You might be in a test when you get in your car. You might be in a test in the parking lot, getting on the freeway, getting home. Apply what you know and let God do the rest. He's taking you somewhere. Just believing for it. Don't get discouraged, all right? Let me pray with you. Can I bless you tonight? Would you raise your hand? Father God, thank you so much. These are your children. I'm blessing now from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessing the city and blessing the field. But it's going and coming that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. Because that's what you say in your word. And we say about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.